Je jure à monsieur le marquis de Sade, mon amant, de n'être jamais qu'à lui, de ne jamais ni me marier, ni me donner à d'autres, de lui être fidèlement attaché, tant que le sang dont je me sers pour sceller ce serment coulera dans mes veines. Je lui fais le sacrifice de ma vie, de mon amour et de mes sentiments, avec la même ardeur que je lui ai fait celui de ma virginité. Et je finis ce serment par lui jurer que si d'ici à un an, je ne suis pas chanoinesse et par cet état que je n'embrasse que pour être libre de vivre avec lui et de lui consacrer tout, je lui jure, dis-je, que si ce n'est pas de le suivre à Venise où il veut me mener, d'y vivre éternellement avec lui comme sa femme. Je lui permets en outre de faire tout l'usage qu'il voudra contre moi du dit serment, si j'ose enfreindre la moindre clause par ma volonté ou mon inconscience. Signé avec du sang, le 15 septembre 1769, Delaunay.
St. James Club, Piccadilly. September 9, 1918. My little Vitty, I was rushed all today that I couldn't find time to write, and this will come late, and she'll think he doesn't love her anymore. But oh, he does, he does, he does. He's never loved her so much as in the last few months when she has been slipping away from him. Vitty, my little one, you will never get anyone to love you as I do. I know that, and one day you will know it. You see, all I want is for you to be happy. Really, I would go and live in a Martello tower, all by myself with 2 bats and 6 mice, if it would make you happy. I feel oceans of abnegations as regards you, my perfect. But then I know, it is not that which counts. And Violet, in her clever way, has made you think I'm unromantic. And oh dear, how can I impoverish it? Middle-aged civil servant, cope with so subtle an accusation. You see, if I was awfully rich, I could have a valet, and an airplane, and a gardenia tree, and it would all be very baronic, but not being rich or successful, it is just poor little Hadji. He is such a darling and so patient. But sweetheart, I'm just not going to be a bore or touchy or sentimental. I'm not going to plant water lilies in the sea. It just is the sea, my love of you, my little one. You think you are so unaccountable, but you are not. Little one, I wish Violet was dead. She has poisoned one of the most sunny things that ever happened. She is like some fierce orchid, glimmering and stinking in the recess of life, and throwing cadaverous sweetness on the morning breeze. Darling, she is evil, and I'm not evil. Oh, my darling. What is it that makes you put her above me? It is so difficult to realize. It is so poignant to think of. We seemed, you and I, to be running hand in hand on the downs. And now a fog has come and you have got into someone else's conservatory, and I'm wandering about cold and rather frightened in the fog. And from the little valleys comes the laughter of past happiness and shudders of the future. Even that sounds forced. Oh dear, it was all so real and easy and natural, like the weeds on the terrace or the smell of asylum. And now, somehow, it isn't frank anymore. Yet I'm the same, my saint. And my love is the same. It burns so straight, darling, it doesn't gutter. Oh, darling, yesterday I wanted to kiss you as if I loved you, and you turned aside. Such a slight affection. And yet it hurt me so. It sent me away, so hurt, darling. And you meant to be so kind and nice and gentle. Darling, is it all an algae hay? Or is it just a transitory thing? Or is it more? You see, it may be your bloody Westy Sackwell business, or it may be a sort of George Sand stunt, or it may be just that I'm a bad, futile, unconvincing, evasive, unromantic husband. And then against me, I have that little torturous, erotic, irresponsible, irremediable and unlimited person. I don't blame her. I don't hate her even. No more than I should hate opium if you took it. But darling, what does it all mean? Darling, what do your odd, unconvincing bursts of affection mean? What do your intermittent and, alas, so convincing coldness mean? Little one, I'm not a fool. I can forgive and forget anything and understand a good deal. But can't you tell me? Can't you write it to me? What has happened? You see, it isn't me, so it must be you, and you, who are quite analytical too, should be able to tell and to tell me. You see, if it was tangible, I could help, perhaps. But is it so untangible? I know, it is more than that. Is it that I am not amorous enough? How can I even think such things? But what is it, darling? It is raining tonight, and the winter is coming on. Haji, burn this, my little friend, and don't ever speak of it.
La lettre qui suit, comme un remède dont l'usage pourrait être utile à son mal. On s'ennuie de tout, mon ange, c'est une loi de la nature, ce n'est pas ma faute. Si donc je m'ennuie aujourd'hui d'une aventure qui m'a occupé entièrement depuis 4 mortels mois, ce n'est pas ma faute. Si par exemple j'ai eu juste autant d'amour que toi de vertu, et c'est sûrement beaucoup dire, il n'est pas étonnant que l'un ait fini en même temps que l'autre, ce n'est pas ma faute. Il suit de là que depuis quelques mois je t'ai trompé, mais aussi ton impitoyable tendresse m'y forçait en quelque sorte. Ce n'est pas ma faute. Aujourd'hui, une femme que j'aime éperdument exige que je te sacrifie. Ce n'est pas ma faute. Je sens bien que voilà une belle occasion de crier au parjure, mais si la nature m'a accordé aux hommes que la constance, tandis qu'elle donnait aux femmes l'obstination, ce n'est pas ma faute. Crois-moi, choisis un autre amant, comme j'ai fait une autre maîtresse. Ce conseil est bon, très bon. Si tu le trouves mauvais, ce n'est pas ma faute. Adieu, mon ange, je t'ai prise avec plaisir, je te quitte sans regret. Je te reviendrai peut-être. Ainsi va le monde. Ce n'est pas ma faute.
Longbourn, June 28, 1926. No, I am in no muddles. Pat writes occasionally, but I don't answer. Geoffrey writes, but I have refused to see him, and he has accepted that. He now writes me sentimental letters about remember what it was once, and hints darkly at troubles with Dorothy. Dorothy I have not seen. Louise, no muddles. Either Genoux or Lorraine. Vera, no muddles. Lady Hillingdon, no muddles. Don't know her. Don't want to. Violet, no muddles. Don't even know where she is. Don't want to get in touch. Thank you. Virginia? Not a muddle exactly. She is a busy and sensible woman, but she does love me, and I did sleep with her at Redmanel. That does not constitute a muddle, though.
Mon esclave, les conditions sous lesquelles je vous accepte comme esclave et vous souffre à mes côtés sont les suivantes. Renonciation tout à fait absolue à votre moi. Hors la mienne, vous n'avez pas de volonté. Vous êtes entre mes mains un instrument aveugle qui accomplit tous mes ordres sans les discuter. Au cas où vous oublierez que vous êtes esclave et où vous ne m'obéiriez pas en toute chose absolument, j'aurai le droit de vous punir et de vous corriger selon mon bon plaisir, sans que vous puissiez oser vous plaindre. Tout ce que je vous accorderai d'agréable et d'heureux sera une grâce de ma part, et vous ne devrez ainsi l'accueillir qu'en me remerciant. À votre égard, j'agirai toujours sans faute et je n'aurai aucun devoir. Vous ne serez ni un fils, ni un frère, ni un ami. Vous ne serez rien que mon esclave gisant dans la poussière. De même que votre corps, votre âme m'appartient aussi. Et même s'il vous arrivait d'en souffrir beaucoup, vous devrez soumettre à mon autorité vos sensations et aussi vos sentiments. La plus grande cruauté m'est permise. Et si je vous mutile, il vous faudra le supporter sans plainte. Vous devrez travailler pour moi comme un esclave. Et si je nage dans le superflu en vous laissant dans les privations et en vous foulant aux pieds, il vous faudra baiser sans murmurer le pied qui vous aura foulé. Je pourrai vous congédier à toute heure, mais vous n'aurez pas le droit de me quitter contre ma volonté. Et si vous veniez à vous enfuir, vous me reconnaissez le pouvoir et le droit de vous torturer jusqu'à la mort par tous les tourments imaginables. Or, moi, vous n'avez rien. Pour vous, je suis tout. Votre vie, votre avenir, votre bonheur, votre malheur, votre tourment et votre joie. Vous devrez accomplir tout ce que je demanderai, que ce soit bien ou mal. Et si j'exige un crime de vous, il vous faudra que vous deveniez criminel pour obéir à ma volonté. Votre honneur m'appartient, comme votre sang, votre esprit, votre puissance de travail. Je suis votre souverain, maîtresse de votre vie et de votre mort. S'il vous arrivait de ne plus pouvoir supporter ma domination et que vos chaînes vous deviennent trop lourdes, il vous faudra vous tuer et je ne vous rendrai jamais la liberté. Je m'oblige sur ma parole d'honneur à être l'esclave de Madame Vanda de Dounaïev tout à fait comme elle le demande et à me soumettre sans résistance à tout ce qu'elle m'imposera. Docteur Léopold, chevalier de Sacher-Masoch.
I am counting the hours until Sunday without knowing where such anxiousness regarding you comes from. Georges, it is so clear now. You think you have enslaved my existence forever. You think it's locked away, finite, limited, the limits that you envision that are known to you and then you leave, to live your true and secret life, or at least you believe that. As though the true in you could be foreign to me, as though your absent presence could give me illusions, or your drunken return the other day and the attractious memory that stayed with me afterward. You can believe that this current existence is a reflection of a living reality in me. You can and I cannot, so that if I feel the need to express myself, it is to other people, in front of other people, that it is possible to do so, so that each day life empties itself a little bit more, disintegrates like a body decomposing before my eyes. The most Christian time of my life was spent with you. The cult of the false victim with no pride. The off-handed way you talked about your vacation as though the 6 weeks had flown by. The way you changed place, voice, tone. Write your books, fabricate yourself a novel. This pathetic being that only existed thanks to my jealousy. Georges, you only have one chance left to help me. It is not sweetness, it is not your desire to care for me and that I call you at night. It is your truth and my own. Georges, do you understand? My life and my death belong to me. Right now, I am as close to one as to the other. No person in the world can do anything any longer since I no longer find you deep down where I used to be able to find you. Georges, maybe I don't love you. Georges, I know what happened yesterday. I know. I hated our life. I often wanted to run away, to go off alone into the mountains. It was to save my life. I understand that now. As soon as I had money in my pocket, I thought about it. I was horrified by this crazy pace, by my work, by our nights. You dared to insult me by talking about weakness. You dare it still, you who do not have the strength to spend 2 hours alone. You who need another person at your side to inspire all your actions. You who cannot want what you want. I know she will lead you where she likes, that's been proved. I believe in our life together the way you still believed in it the first day when you talked about the house. I believe in it the way I believe in everything that brought us together, in the most profound depths of your darkness and of mine. I revealed everything about myself to you. Now that it gives you pleasure to laugh at it, to soil it, this leaves me as far away from anger as it is possible to be. Scatter, spoil, destroy, throw to the dogs all that you want. You will never affect me again. I will never be where you think you find me, where you think you finally caught me in a chokehold that makes you come. Now, thanks to me, the most banal image has taken the form of dream, desire, drama, passion, now that only the sweetest hilarity will relieve you from all that is burdensome, all in the form and appearance of the clearest, most shaming, most selfish, most pathetic adultery. As for me, I am beyond words. I have seen too much, known too much, experienced too much for appearance to take on form. You can do anything you want. I will not be hurt. The tragic ones are such hypocrites. You know this well. This strategy was so staged day by day before my disdainful eyes, or thanks to my horrible outbursts, which were only a matter of neuroses. Everything you have been doing, I've known about everything, for more than a year before and after Sicily, everything that crystallized around a person who took the form of your dream, a shattering dream that knows how to shatter, a dream that is leaving behind the most banal of daily realities that any human being is capable of living. Adultery, well organized, planned out, clever, cunning, burning because secret. Understand me, nothing of this being can affect me. I know Riederen, the mirror she made you get, and in front of which I saw her loll as much as possible from the first day. The days of Colette, I adore you, without you even noticing to her great vexation. Shameful airs, pretense, language, God, evil, always these words on one's lips.